In Washington State, an estimated 500 to 600 cattle have been lost in dramatic wildfires this summer. Kent Stokes is a fifth-generation rancher. His family lost hundreds of head in the Carlton Complex fires near Twisp.
Now, there's pretty good family history of big events like the 48 flood and bad winters and stuff like that, but they never talked about a fire like this. It just wasn't to this scale.
Correspondent Anna King has his story.
Kent Stokes can't believe who survived the Carlton Complex wildfires. His pet cat and his arch nemesis, an early morning chattering gray squirrel. When Stokes returned to survey the ruins of his burnt up shop and home, he was happy to find at least the cat.
I hear him meowing through the brush or whatever was left, and he came running out. He was fine, not a singe mark on him. And, he survived all that. The squirrel and the cat made it through all that fire.
And they didn't eat each other.
Apparently not. Yeah, he was definitely happy to see me and get a meal for sure. So, but, yeah, that was kind of a win.
Another win? They saved his parents' house. That's where he lives now. But the losses are crushing. The fires stripped about 20,000 acres of his family's grazing land. Stokes crawls up the steep hillsides and deep canyons in this pickup. I'm shotgun. In boyhood, he learned how to find his way out here. The rocks, creeks, trees, they're the backcountry signposts. But now in this cooked landscape of ash and gaping earth,
you know, most all that's gone and different. And when I was riding up there looking for survivors, it was pretty easy for me to get lost or turned around because I just didn't recognize where I was at anymore.
The firefight lasted through 5 nights on the Stokes place. They had to decide what to save first. Massive stacks of winter hay, shops, barns, tractors, several family homes, and even the animals they depend on. After, Stokes came upon a cow. He knew her well by her ear tag.
Her skin looked like an elephant, kind of just gray and all wrinkly and everything.
The burnt-over cow was having trouble breathing, and she wouldn't move back toward the ranch.
Well, personally, because she had that will to live, I would have liked to try to give her a chance, but, you know, the merciful thing was just to put a bullet in her and end it right then and there, so that's what we did.
It's gotta be hard, though. I'm sure you care about your mamas. And
yeah, that was definitely tough, and, you know, especially a good cow like that.
The deepest fire wound runs blood red. The Stokes family lost 215 head of cattle this year, and all those bloodlines are gone. Stokes explains that he can't just go out and buy more to replace them.
You know, we have long cold winters, but we also have long hot summers. So you can't just have a cow with thin skin or something. He has to be able to tolerate weather extremes. He has to be able to travel several miles to water and go out there and find that forage and take her calf along.
Stokes says building back those hardy traits for life in the Metau could take decades.
People driving along a highway that see some cows out there, some black cows, they can say, oh, they all look alike or they're all the same. But, you know, I guess when it's your job or you've grown up around it, there's a little minute differences in every animal.
Some of the smallest survivors were 4 calves. When I visited, the animals were bedded down in tall, cool grass near a quiet beaver creek.
This is the worst calf.
Right here.
You can see. I mean, your feet are just, burnt down to nubs.
Stokes had been smearing his patients with medical salve and doling out pain meds. What we didn't know was, at nightfall, gully washers and torrents of mud would barrel down this canyon. The storm washed away corrals Stokes had just built. 2 irrigation pumps for alfalfa are gone. One of those injured calves was even swept away. Stokes says the grass will eventually come back better. the trees and shrubs will come back too.
It's just a matter of how long. And that's kind of the tough thing for us, is we're so dependent on the land for our livelihood.
And living off the land means you're on Mother Nature's clock. These are the last days of summer. Time is running low. There's hay to put up, 20 miles of fence to build before the ground freezes. Then the snow melts, then the spring and more mud. And with the hillside stripped bare, the mud could come down in waves for years. I'm Anna King, outside of Twisp, Washington.